Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
It's here and now. The sound of wolves, a cry that's haunting, grievous. But can wolves really grieve? Well, scientific observation keeps proving that animals do display emotions and behaviors much like our own. Elephants feed injured relatives. Dolphins recognize themselves in mirrors. One study even says that rats experience regret when they make a bad decision. Oh, push the wrong lever. Emotionally, cognitively, neurochemically even, we keep learning how much we share with other animals. But when a new study came out this summer finding that dogs display jealousy, it got Vicky Croke thinking about how the language we use for animal emotion isn't keeping up with the science of animal emotion. Vicky writes about the animal world for WBUR, part of our Contributors Network, and she joins us now. Thank you, as always, for being with us.
Thank you, Robin.
I know you're going to provoke us, get us to think. So first of all, just a little bit about this dog study. I loved seeing it, that dogs can be jealous, because I feel I have seen it.
Everyone who's ever been around a dog, I think, agrees with it. And this study was a terrific little one. It was done by Christine Harris and Caroline Provost. It was published in PLOS One, which indicated that dogs do, as you think, experience jealousy. The researchers used a variation of a test that was used with human infants. In this case, with their dogs present in the room, dog owners petted and talked to a couple of inanimate items, a jack-o'-lantern, a book, and an animatronic dog. And guess what? When it was the stuffed dog that the owners were
putting their attention on.
Yes, yeah. The dogs really reacted. They would try to push away the toy dog from their owner. That seems like jealousy, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, but experts are telling us that jealousy is a complex emotion, that it combines other emotions like anger and resentment. And jealousy is or was considered to be uniquely human. Anyway, there was a lot of discussion in the press and online about whether dogs in that study showed real clinical jealousy. And that's a really good discussion to have. But I noticed something, that most people were just dismissing the dog's reaction, calling it resource guarding. Like a dog would with a bone, this is mine, you can't have it. But I mean, I think that we do that with our significant others. That's my resource guarding someone you love. So the thing is whether or not these dogs really were showing jealousy, and that's for the experts to decide. I was taken aback by how quickly people who aren't psychologists were willing to label it something else.
And to substitute other language.
Exactly.
So give us some other examples of where you think that we feel the need to substitute other language for what animals do.
So the thing that we see all the time is, and I went over that with some of my friends who cover this issue, we love animals bond. We form friendships. They maintain social bonds. We feel jealous. They resource guard. We have sex. They copulate.
They can't possibly love each other or want to be partners. But we know this. There are animals that partner for half a century.
That's right. Albatrosses do that, for instance. And so it made me laugh to look up and find out that Britney Spears was once married for allegedly 55 hours. And here, the albatross can be married or together for 55 years, but we don't want to call that a marriage.
Well, so take us back a bit, because this has been evolving for a while, our sense of what exactly animals are capable of. You go back to Jane Goodall.
That's right. It set me up to wonder if our society as a whole will ever be able to apply some terms to animals. So in 1960, Jane Goodall discovered that chimpanzees use tools.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had to change our definition of man, the tool user. And I think ever since then, human beings have felt our identity under siege.
You write in your blog post about this, so that we're reminded, they strip the leaves off the wood. They know what they're doing. They make a tool. That no longer differentiates us from them.
That's right. And it's not only chimpanzees who are using these twigs and sometimes grass stems to poke into a hole where the termite mound is. And when they would withdraw it, termites would be on it and they could eat it. So there was that finding about tools, which really, to me, started off in 1960. And since then, we've had just a slew of data in every which way. Compassion, altruism, a sense of fairness. It looks like animals have it all. And we find that animals not only behave the way we do, they may think the way we do too sometimes. Through modern technology like MRI, we see that brain areas in animals may be activated in ways that mirror our own. There's a study out of Hungary that has shown that dogs' brains react the same way to the sound of laughter and to crying that humans do. And that's just one among so many studies. And I spoke by phone with Mark Beckoff. He's an evolutionary biologist whose work I've admired for years. And he says we're ignoring an awful lot of data like that when we, through our language, try to distance our own emotions from those of animals. Here's what he had to say.
I always say it's bad science to rob animals of their, you know, cognitive, emotional, and moral capacities.
So we hear that, but then we go back to this question that we've always had. Is it dangerous to anthropomorphize? They are in the wild. You know, do we do something dangerous if we just project our own thinking onto animals?
I talked about this with a good friend of mine, the wonderful nature writer, Cy Montgomery, and she really had a terrific response.
So when we talk about being anthropomorphic, attributing human traits, who says those traits were human? Who said we came up with them? Evolution says we did not come up with them. Evolution says we inherited them.
Oh, here's a point. We came from them. Boy, we know some of the turf wars that have come from people, though, saying this.
There's some words in particular are very contentious. And in 1993, Elizabeth Marshall Thomas wrote a book, a great blockbuster of a book called The Hidden Life of Dogs. Mm-hmm. And she described the relationship between two of her huskies as a marriage. And people just went crazy. So certain words in particular are very contentious. And as I mentioned earlier, animals do stay together. Mark Beckoff particularly has noticed that one of the words people object to is friend or friendship. And here's what he had to say about that.
But, you know, what else would you call, you know, a relationship between, say, two dogs or two wolves? I saw it in Wild Coyotes where they hang out, they travel together, they do all these things together. I'm not necessarily talking about mates. And then one dies or disappears and the other one grieves or they seek them out. You know, long-term social bond, reciprocal interactions, blah, blah, blah. What else would you call it but a friend?
You know what, Robin, that reminded me of the friendship between my dog Penny that I grew up with, my wonderful childhood mutt, and her best friend Cleo. They were friends for years. My sister and I were friends with the girls in the family, and our dogs, Penny and Cleo, were friendly too. In the pre-leash law days, after we girls stopped playing together, the dogs continued to be friends for years. And Cleo would come to our door. She had this rudder of a tail, and we would hear her tail against the door, and she'd call on Penny, and we'd let Penny out. And it was the most heartbreaking day. A few days after Penny died at the age of 15, we heard a knock at the door. And we, oh, it's going to make me cry just saying this.
Me too.
We opened the door and there was Cleo.
Oh, God.
So for me, there's no question that animals have friends.
Me too. That's Vicky Krogh. She covers all things animal for our home station WBOR, part of our contributors network. Vicky, thanks so much.
Thank you, Robin.
And another note, dogs tend to scan the right side of the face, just like humans do. Researchers say it's more expressive. So check it out and tell us what you see at hereandnow.org.